Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hello, strangers, friends, newbies,
confidants.
Yes. Welcome.
We're rusty.
We are a little rusty. Welcome to our Patreon episodes, our crossover. And
we're talking about the last three episodes of Teen Mom OG. It was actually not horrible.
It was horrible. Not as horrible as the vocal warm-ups Amanda just had me do. I'm a little, I don't know what happened. I was drinking super watered down, all natural cranberry juice, and my voice just went out.
I almost want people to hear the difference. Listen, you guys, we're going to talk about important stuff in a second, I promise. Yes. But I just need you to hear the difference between, and I'm not even saying one is better than the other, but like.
Sure.
If we're both going to do a siren, I'm going to go first and then hear how different the two of us are. Right?
Okay.
So here's mine first. Woo!
Woo! One is definitely not better than the other, you guys.
I don't know. It's just our voices just are, we're made for, we're cut from different cloths, I think.
I'm just a baritone and you're a normal female voice.
I'm not, though, because I can't hit the registers that you are.
Because I'm a baritone.
No, I can't scream, and you can scream. You can go into these weird high-pitched
shit. Oh, you mean yours just comes out the melodic voice of an angel, and mine comes out
like
a scream?
No, the highest I could scream would be like, ah! Like, I just can't scream. And you can go into these insane Mariah Carey fucking notes.
Okay, you need to get your ears charged because that was not Mariah.
Jody's a butterfly.
I actually have one of those shirts. I'm actually wearing it right now, but it's actually folded itself
glitter
under my boobs into one of my rolls right now.
Oh, man, I'm just wearing sports bras 24/7 at this point because my boobs are just starting to stick themselves to my lower body.
Oh, welcome to the club. Welcome.
It's fun.
Well, I am going to be sipping
we're
on...
We're both also... Oh, sorry.
Sorry. No. I'm just saying I'm sipping on my apple juice per your... I'm so sorry. It's going to come around.
Yes, you guys. If you take a bite of an apple, the flavonoids of the apple will even out the pH balance of the phlegm in your throat. An opera singer told me that. And I mean, I believe it. I mean, I have no reason. I didn't look it up, but it sounds it sounds fine.
Oh, well, I'll be singing the opera from Carmen later in the episode.
Me and Jody both, without even talking to each other, dressed and wore our hair the exact same. Roots.
Yeah.
5 miles long.
Right.
And gray basic ass t-shirt.
A gray ashy t-shirt, because we're just super casual.
We're just chilling. But I actually spent a time staring at myself in the mirror putting this on for this recording.
All right. Well, it has been a while.
Let's talk about things that are important. Yes. Okay. How's your week been? It's nothing's really going on, right? America's going great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, business as usual.
Jesus Christ. It's fucking horrific.
Yeah. It's pretty horrific. Well, first of all, I know a lot of people have reached out to me and to you, which is so sweet, asking,
yes,
am I still alive? What's going on? If I'm okay, and honestly, you guys are just so
Jody
sweet.
Specifically, like they're asking me if Jody's okay.
That's so cute.
Yes, and I've been not bothering you with it because I kind of feel like I knew how you were, so
yeah.
I was just transporting that information to you without.
Well, listen, it's one of those things when someone's family member dies or someone close to them, you don't really know what to say, what's the right thing to say, and if you're not a religious person, you know, what do you say? My thoughts are with you. Because you don't want to say I'm praying for you. I mean, it's just such an awkward thing to address. But no, I'm doing okay. I'm in an okay place. I think in some respects, I promise I'm going to stop coughing. In some respects, it's kind of, not that COVID or anything is great, but it's giving us the time to kind of plan out exactly what we want to plan out and not have to be rushed into a memorial service and a church service and who's going to come and all that kind of stuff. But it was a really rough last, I'd say, week when my dad was alive.
That first week.
Yeah, so he passed away May 18th, and that was a Monday. And immediately the week prior Monday, he had a brain, it wasn't dementia, but it's very similar to dementia. It's like a brain disease.
Right.
And at first we thought that it was just kind of progressing because he was having, you know, delusions and things like that. Like he was saying my mom was someone else. And when we would say mom, he's like, who's mom? My mom. He was just kind of out of it.
Which almost might be for the best, though, because I feel like one of the worst things is to, like, be aware
of. Well,
he
was definitely still aware.
Oh, like, that's terrible, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, he thought that he didn't know that he was at my mom's house. He kept saying, like, I need to get out of here. And he was getting...
So he passed away in your mom's house?
Yes.
Well, that's good. I mean...
Yeah, he had an episode when he was in the rehab facility right after he was in the hospital in, like, February. And they call it like sundowning, where it's really, it's like a psychotic break. It's just too much for the brain to take on.
Yeah, that's what that movie, like The Visit, is based on. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I mean, God, I hate that I'm even comparing it to this, but that's like what it's about.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, it's about like these kids visit their grandparents and they like
experience
sundowning and it's like.
Really? Well, we had never heard of that, and it is, it's scary, but that last week my dad was getting... like aggressive. He couldn't really get up by himself, which is why my mom and I have been had to help the last couple months. But he was saying like, I'm going to get my shoes. I'm getting the hell out of here. He was refusing to take his medication because he was like having psychotic episodes.
Yeah.
And that wasn't good because if he wasn't taking his medication that we were trying to give him to kind of regulate that stuff, it just became a cycle. And finally, we were able to get one of the nurses with hospice to come because that's a whole other thing with COVID going on. They're trying to limit their exposure, which is absolutely understandable. But thankfully, we had a really good nurse that came out, and I was hoping that they would prescribe Haldol, which is, I mean, it's just, it pretty much just kind of puts you out.
Tranquilizer, yeah.
Yeah, it's an antipsychotic. It's like what people, they give to people in the ER when they're going crazy.
Freaking out. Right. Yeah, okay.
And thankfully she saw him and she's like, okay, we have to do the Haldol, the morphine. And it'll pretty much just put him out because this, these kinds of episodes, I promise this is not going to be like totally depressing, but just to give you guys a background. And if you've gone through it or you're going through it,
my God, you are not alone. You're doing a really good job of re-talking about it without it being like too.
Yeah. Well, it's what he needed because he would not have wanted to be saying this stuff. Like he said, like he didn't know. I was like trying to give him medication in his mouth, like begging him. And he was like, here, I thought you were the greatest daughter. I never want to see you again. And I hope you remember that. And that was not him at all. So I was like, God, he would hate to know that he's saying these things. And thankfully, I think I just kind of put myself in a different space where I was like, this is not my dad. Like, it's not hurting my feelings. This is not him whatsoever. but once they gave him those two medications and we started that on Wednesday or Thursday, it took a couple days to get the medication, it just like puts them out. They're just completely asleep. So that kind of started. And of course, once they're asleep, they're not drinking or eating. And so it's just kind of a matter of time. And he was already at that point that hospice is like, he had already started refusing eating and drinking, couldn't really keep anything down. So he was just sleeping and... Excuse me. I'm so sorry for coughing.
No one cares.
So it was Saturday. We had a really sweet nurse come and she's like, you know, it's probably just like another day or two. And kind of gave us the signs to watch for, like the modeling and hands and feet when they start to kind of lose circulation and that kind of thing. And then it was Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. It's all blending together. But anyhow, She said, like, it's probably, you know, maybe tonight, tomorrow. And then we had my sister, my brother, my other sister and I all came. All the grandkids kind of came. And he was sleeping. He was out the whole time, except when Charlie was there and my nephews came. He was able to open one eye, and he was just, like, staring right at him. Now I'm going to get choked up.
Oh, wow.
So they
was
all...
Was Paige there? Paige was there as
she
well.
She didn't want to deal with it.
That's fine.
It was just,
yeah,
like, too much for her, and I get it. I mean, that is really hard. So so the grandkids kind of came and gave him hugs, and all had... The older ones, like, had their moments with him while he was sleeping, just talking with him.
Was Charlie and him close at all, or was it kind of just like a...
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we lived two blocks away, so we'd be over all the time. And then that entire day on Sunday, because he passed away at, like, just shy of 4 a.m. on Monday morning, that entire day Sunday, it was just my three siblings and I and my mom. And it sounds so cheesy, and I'm not super religious, but we, like, sang all, like, our favorite church songs.
Jody, I
and
think
stuff
if there's a time for religion right now, this is the time for it. And I'm
yeah, I mean, we all just
all of that.
You know, we're just like, again, he's totally out, but they say, like, your hearing is the last thing to go. So
that's great. And you sang him those church songs
gosh,
that you,
like,
would talk to
all,
me about.
Yeah, all day and night. And
the eagle.
It was like, Be Not Afraid
on
Eagle's Wings.
On Eagle's Wings, Be Not Afraid. Oh, God. I know. Yeah. They're my favorite. They're my favorite songs in the world.
Yeah.
I can't. Whenever I sing at a funeral, I don't even know the people. I can't even.
I
have to look straight up because I can't look at anyone. Because the songs, if I'm singing to myself in an alone room, I cry because they're beautiful songs. So that's wonderful that you were able to give that to him.
I mean, like, if there's a beautiful way to go, even my mom said, she's like, that was so beautiful. We were able to get a priest to come and do his last rites at the house. And actually, I think I sent you pictures of this priest because he was like,
yeah, he was hot.
Crazy.
He was a hottie. He was a hot priest.
But he's like, he's probably like 24 and he's fucking hot.
She can find the good shit in the
like, he walked in and was like, hello, father, daddy.
I mean, fucking hot as shit, yeah.
I'm like, how did they find this guy? It was like he came from Central Casting or something.
No, he was. He literally was.
Yeah. But so he came and he was actually, whatever. So he got his last rites, and I think that was just really cool to be able to see that. And
that's great. That's how I would want to go, surrounded by my family.
Yeah.
Hearing these.
I mean, we were talking like funny stories and kind of joking around.
I'd want to be laughing. I'd probably want to be like drinking champagne or at least like really high on like morphine.
You know,
but I'd want to hear church songs, I think, because these are timeless songs from fucking
songs from the 80s that.
Not even the 80s, but like one of my favorite church songs is How Great Thou Art. I don't even know how far that goes back.
My mom loves that one.
But I love that song. And like, how long has that song been making people, I'm going to cry now, but like making people like comforted for ever.
Yeah.
So that's
there
wonderful.
Was a couple of songs. There's one that I think it's like John Denver and is it Peter, Paul, and Mary? I'm forgetting. It's called Four Baby. And it was on this cassette tape, this will tell you the times, when we moved from Tallahassee, Florida. I was like 4 or 5. We lived there for a couple of years. And the music teacher, she like played guitar. Mrs. Duke was her name. And she made this cassette tape with all these different songs that she sang and then put some like country religious songs on at the end. And we listened to this cassette tape all the way back on the drive. And there's some of those songs that she sang. There was a... Oh, God, what was her name? I forgot. Anyway, there was like a teddy bear song. Morgan Fairchild. Something Fairchild.
That sounds about right.
So it was just all these like old songs, and it would go in waves.
She did the Free to Be You and Me album. Did you ever have that album?
It sounds familiar. I feel like I know that one. But it would go in waves. We'd be like, okay, things are calm, we're good. And then it would just be like, you know, just wild. But
well, sometimes it's good. Sometimes I like to just play music and let myself cry, because once I cry out, then I like, it's so cathartic. I would encourage people to cry much more than you are letting yourself cry, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the song One Tin Soldier, by the way? Because that song is
One Tin Soldier.
I'll send it to okay. you. If anyone knows that song, it's really obscure, probably. It's this super hippy-dippy song.
Okay.
Like, very hippie from the 60s. But, like, the message of it is so devastating.
Oh, jeez.
So I'll send it to you.
No, you hey, do sometimes need a really good cry.
Let me send you something to make you cry yeah. anymore. But.
Well, it was... So my sisters and my brother spent the night at my mom's, and I live probably, like, 200 yards away. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go home. And I gave them, like, all the instructions. I was kind of the de facto nurse giving him his mm-hmm. medications. Yeah. Like, I had the whole schedule every 2 hours, this and this. And I went home at, like, 11:30 midnight. And my sister got up to do his medications. And she got up right before 4 to give him his 4 o'clock medication. She had checked him at, like, 3:45. And he was still breathing. And then she just went a couple minutes later. And she called my sister, like, oh, my God, go get mom. She called me. And somewhere in that, like, 10, 15 minutes, he just, like, passed on his own. But, I mean, they were, like, in the room just sleeping on the couch because he was in the family room on a bed from hospice and everything. And as soon as, I mean, like, I picked up the phone. She's like, it didn't even ring, and you picked up the phone. And I zoomed over there, and he it just had gone. But... At first, we were like, oh, my gosh, we weren't, like, right there. But, you know, I don't know. Like, who wants someone to see them take their last breath? Yeah. But anyhow, I mean, it was very – we felt at peace. And the hospice person who came when we called and the funeral home, I mean, it was just so, like, held
– peaceful.
Professional. It was. It was, like, very peaceful. And that day was like, okay, we – like I helped write up the obituary and a couple different things. And before he passed, we took fingerprints, and there's like necklaces and stuff you can get made, jewelry with the fingerprints. But the day after Tuesday, like Monday, I was okay. I think just maybe processing, but Tuesday.
Yeah, I feel like I was feeling your stages of grief throughout the 3 days. And I knew that you weren't in any kind of state to respond to me, but I just kept trying to
throw
you like,
I know.
Fun. Here's a funny meme or like, just whatever.
No, it
just
did.
Like,
it helped. No, it helps
to
know.
I just want you to know I'm there. But then I think on like the fourth day you sent me, you were in this hilarious fucking mood and I was so
was
happy
I
for
probably?
You.
Because Tuesday,
so
all
funny.
I did.
You were being such a bitch and you were being so funny and you
I was
were just
probably,
being
bitter
like, really.
About something.
You were no, you weren't even being bitter. You were just being sassy. You weren't even being a bitch. You were being sassy.
Oh,
and
good.
I was like, oh, I love this stage of her.
Oh,
right
it was
now.
Probably because like afterwards, I think my brother and my sister like pissed me off about something. But,
you were just saying really funny shit.
Oh,
I
think it was. I think it was when one of my sisters said something. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know exactly what it was. Okay, I'll explain that in a
and
little
that's
bit.
And that's when you sent me the priest picture, and you were like, you were finally ready to talk to me.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, Tuesday, the day after, I didn't even think this was in me to do, but honestly, I feel like it really helped me heal. All I did, I didn't even get out of bed on Tuesday. Thankfully, like, you know, Dave's working from home, and he took care of the kids. I stayed in bed all day. Slept. And I don't take naps during the day. Like, once I'm up, I'm up.
Right. Yeah.
I slept. I woke up. I cried. I went back to sleep. I slept. And that was the entire day. I didn't eat
you
anything.
Were Carrie
didn't drink
in
anything.
In the Sex and the City movie.
Oh,
and Carrie gets jilted at the altar. She goes to Cancun with all the girls, and she spends, like, 3 days just sleeping. And
of course, that would be the only time I'm actually, like, Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City is... during this time. But anyhow, I am in a much better place. I'm at peace that he's at peace and, you know, in a good place with it. So thank you for all of that. And it's just a process. I'm sure there's just going to be days or moments like this where I just start crying for no reason, but
of
I am
course.
In a good place with it. And, you know, it's just going to be time will tell, but that leads to like a whole other thing because just when I think I'm good, I see shit on TV.
Okay. When did you kind of start being aware of this? Because I was made
aware. We're talking aware, about George right? Floyd, correct?
Yeah, let's, right. I mean, we have to, I feel like we have to address it because I didn't address it and I got called out on it, which was completely legitimate. And I just want to say.
Okay, and listen, there's no good transition. And
there's no good
sorry,
transition.
I just kind of like threw this at you. I didn't mean to.
No. No. Okay. I mean, there was nothing more to say about that.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, like, I probably have everyone either turning off or crying
but we
or
did,
whatever.
We did want to address this. And I think initially I just want to say, as a very fucking privileged white girl, I want to say I definitely was ignorant enough to think that I just shouldn't even say anything about it. I'm like, I'll just let everyone else deal with it. Because in my head, I was like, well, there's nothing I can say that can help anything. Right. Also, my major thing is I didn't want to come across as condescending or like I was being this white savior.
Right.
Like, hey, guys, listen to me talk about this issue that
I'm here with you.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's tricky. But then once being called out, I was like, no, I should fucking use my white ass blonde fucking voice to. And all I can say is I don't want to try to educate anyone. And I also don't think it's your guys' place to educate me on this shit. But I've just been trying to watch as much content and listen to shit and read shit. I've been trying to do that the past 3 days. It's been awful.
Because listen, you know, who are we to even, meaning you and I and all of us of white privilege, whatever privilege to say.
We have the most charmed fucking lives ever.
Absolutely.
We've never experienced
even Amber from Teen Mom, who had a traumatic childhood, has no place to be saying like, oh, I understand what it's like. And that's what I want to say is there's no way that we can comprehend the depth and the magnitude of what has always been going on and what's going on now and what is or isn't going to change. There's no way we can comprehend that.
And I also can't say that I didn't turn a blind eye to it. I obviously knew the shit was going on.
Well, and that's
and
the whole
I was
point
pretty
is,
comfortable
is how,
in my
privileged,
white bubble.
How privileged can we be in our ignorance to be like, well, I'm not really a person to be saying this. What if I say the wrong thing? Or what if I, you know, address it the wrong way? That's privilege even just being able to say, like, I'll let someone else.
I'll leave that to a black person to handle. No, it's not. That's not. I don't want to try to say anything that's going to change anyone. And I swear to God, I really have been reaching out to my black friends, black listeners that I've never even met. I've also reached out to some of my Republican listeners who I didn't even know were fucking Republican or Trump supporters. But I've been trying to at least just educate myself.
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm educated. I don't know fucking anything. But I just want you guys to know I'm trying and I hope that we've made it obvious in the years we've been podcasting that we don't think this is okay. That was the most fucked up thing I've ever watched in my life. My mom, my Canadian mom, was like, Amanda, I couldn't even watch it, but I forced myself to watch it. And I was like, okay.
Well, and that's the thing. We need to be watching it because it happens every goddamn day. It does. It happens every single day. And the fact that it's on TV and it just so happened to be recorded is...
Yeah. And every time I see it on TV, I turn my eyes away.
Well, see, and that's like, the thing.
And I shouldn't turn my eyes away, but because it's so terrible.
I was talking to one of my friends because she is in the same local mom's Facebook group. And someone had said that they are not letting their kids on social media or to watch TV just because everything's going on.
No, that's not good.
And she and I were talking because, of course, you know, that post blew up. And I'm like, okay. Listen, this is exactly the privilege that we're talking about. To be like, well, I'm not going to have the kids watch it because it's too much for them. Bullshit. That is what is going on. And that's where it starts, is in your own home. That belief and that compassion that this shit is wrong. If you're looking at, if you're in history class in third, fourth, fifth grade, you're learning about the civil rights movement and you're celebrating MLK Day, but then this is too violent to watch on TV? Absolutely not.
All,
that should still go
All of us are
on.
Like, MLK Day, barbecue, day off of work. I am absolutely guilty of it. Of course I've been a complicit in all of this shit. I reached out to one of my friends, Damon Bowling. He lives in Arizona, and he's black, and I was like, what can I just, please, God, like, please don't
And I like that you're saying that because I think you and I are the same way. Listen, if we're saying something incorrectly, like, I'm open to be schooled, to be like...
But I also don't think that you guys need to educate me. It's not your responsibility to educate me, but I did reach out to him and I said, look, I don't want to say anything. And I posted a couple things that have pissed people off. no matter what, because I'm just ignorant. And he was like, you know what? I think maybe just say, just acknowledge that you understand your white privilege. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to express something where I knew that I was very, very white privileged. Yeah. Here it is. It's when I was arrested at Target. This is also the second time I had been arrested. The first time I got off just by talking my way out of it. I was stealing like $80 worth of shit
Okay, this is very shell, but I love your arrest stories because this is, I've been so privileged that I haven't been arrested, but I also was beaten with guilt problem. From the Catholic Church, so I would
it's
never
do it. It's a funny story. This would never be a funny story if a black person
okay, so wait, in your life, how many times have you been arrested?
I've only been arrested once because the first time I got caught shoplifting in Florida, and I got out of it because I was like,
oh, that, was that at the grocery store when you were going to get like some, were you going to get like a OB spray or something? Or deodorant?
OB spray.
I swear you were getting some like tampons or something.
No, you're close. I was trying to steal Summer's Eve vagina wipes.
Okay, same thing. Got it. Okay, got it.
So I got out of that one.
Okay.
Second time was Target in College Point. These two white cops come in. They arrest me. I was in my Gymboree t-shirt. I wonder if you can find my arrest thing. Probably not because it's been wiped because I'm privileged and it got wiped completely. But they arrested me and got in the cop car. They didn't handcuff me. We were cracking jokes.
They're
going
to yell at you
time.
For pounding on your desk. Just FYI.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because I'm mad. I'm mad. In the cop car, I was like, I was just joshing with them. Just like, hey, like, what's up, guys? Like, tell me about your craziest story.
Twirling your hair.
Because I'm an asshole. Yes. So, yeah, twirling my blonde hair. Get to jail, and I'm like, I have a class to teach at Gymboree at 4:30. It was like 3:30. And they're like, we'll see what we can do. They got me in and out.
Shut up.
In an hour. They came back and talked to me every 5 minutes just to make sure I was okay. They called me a cab to get my way home. When I went for my court date.
I did not know
all
this. Wow.
No, this is all. And in the moment, I was like, I knew it was fucked up, but like, I didn't say anything because I was like, this is awesome. I'm like getting off without having to.
Yeah.
So on my court date, I was in a room of all people with my exact same charges. Black people, Asian people, very few white people. And I'm not saying because white people shoplift less. It's because we get caught less because they don't follow us around. I had stole like $700 that day of like shit.
No
just like random
way.
Shit.
You must have had a really messy situation down there. You're stealing $700 worth of Summer's Eve wipes. Wow.
Just vagina wipes. Everyone else in my group were getting probation, community service, retribution of $2,000. I got off with paying $500 to Target that I had already paid record wipe
claim. No. So if,
and I
if,
don't know what I don't know what to say about that. I think
nothing was a record whatsoever.
No, if you looked me up in the most like depths of the criminal system, you could not find me. It's wiped.
I'm writing this down.
I feel like you're gonna find me, and I'm gonna like my life.
Listen, if I can find Mary from Sister Wives loan documents,
I can keep deep dive.
Got it.
And listen, all I'm saying is that I acknowledge that I experienced that. It was fucked up. I knew in the moment it was fucked up, and I don't know what else to say. It's fucked up that everyone can't just have that same amount of fairness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
like, we should all just be able to get arrested once, like, once, and just have it be wiped clean. Like, okay, let's let you
mm-hmm.
go and, like, try again. But everyone else in that room got way worse charges than me, and I got to walk away with nothing. Nothing happened.
Do your parents even know?
Nope.
See that right there, right?
I know, because I didn't have to post bail. I didn't have to stay overnight. I didn't have to do anything. I got out in and out of jail in half an hour because I said that I needed to teach a class at 4:30 at fucking Gymboree.
That's why. I mean, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say.
I don't know. I feel like this is almost making everyone hate me more.
Well,
but
no,
I just,
you are acknowledging that's fucked up.
Putting it out there. It was fucked up. I knew that it was fucked up. I was like, this is, like, outrageous. Yeah. Like, I should be spending the night
if you were a black female or a black male, you would have been in there probably overnight.
I would have been cuffed. I would have stayed in there until the court date. My court date was, like, 2 months down the road. I might have had to stay in there the whole time.
That's fucked up.
I don't know. I guess I just wanted... That's one thing my friend was like, you could acknowledge sometime you experience white privilege. So that's one time. And it was... If you don't think that story is fucked up, like, that's a fucked up story.
Well, I know in my daughter's class, I totally just remembered this. I don't have any arrest stories. I know, crazy, because we're expecting me to just, like, spill my whole record here.
Me and Jody come from a little different levels of...
I was like, craziness. Wish I was. I think I was telling you this. I wish I would have lived a little. Like, I really should have lived a little in my teenage, early 20s.
You're all good.
But my daughter was telling me, this was back in pre-COVID, and there were two boys in her grade, not in her class, and one of them, actually, my kids go to a very diverse school, if anything. They're like whites are the minority group, which I love. That's we like specifically picked this neighborhood because it was a lot like our other ones. Because listen, that's fucking life. I would hope, you know, that you're not just like living in this, you know, whitey McWhite, which typically my town is. But long story short, Paige is still really good friends with this kid. We'll just call him John. John is black, and this other kid in the grade, Bob, is white, and the white kid is a known troublemaker, I guess. You know, just those kids that you're like, that kid's going to be a punk probably forever. Just steer clear of him. He told John that his mom was an N-word.
Ooh.
Fifth grade. And Paige doesn't even know what the N-word is. She just said, he said the N-word. I'm like, do you know what that
is? Fifth grade is pretty
I said, do you know what the N-word is? And she's like, I don't know. They just said the N-word. So, okay. And that was a whole other discussion. But long story short, this white kid said to John, the black kid, that his mom was an N-word. And John started screaming back at him that he was like a little bitch and he's a pussy and he, you know, reamed him out.
He should.
Absolutely. Yes. And was like, do you want me to punch you or whatever? He didn't, but he was like, you know, kind of like puffing his chest at him.
Right.
Which I fucking love because I'm like, that's a kid's mom. And who the fuck are you to be saying the N-word?
And I am such a pussy that like, I wish I could have been that brave as a kid aggressively.
Well, so Paige heard about this after the fact. So I was like, well, what did you do? And she's like, I don't know. I just heard about it. You know, she wasn't there because I always tell my kids, if you see anyone just being bullied for anything, you standing there not saying anything is just like is being bullying. The bully. And I understand it's hard for kids, but listen, you gotta at least start teaching them from a young age. But listen to how messed up this is. Both those kids ended up getting like an in-school suspension for a week, both of them, because the kid whose mom was insulted was swearing at him and like saying that he was going to beat him up. And I understand like, okay, should it be swearing and blah, 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 zero tolerance? No, but I'm like,
it never would have happened the other direction. Exactly. Never would have
And this is what I was talking about with Paige, and Charlie was somewhere else, but with Paige and with Dave, where I'm like, listen, if it were the other way, honestly, it probably would have been that, I almost called his real name, John probably would have been expelled.
Absolutely.
But absolutely the other kid would not have gotten an equal punishment. So I was pretty pissed off about it and some other parents. And then this whole COVID thing happened. So it, whatever. But even that, like, no, they're 10 years old. You're already teaching this kid, even if you stick up for yourself and your mom, that you're going to get in trouble no matter what.
And here we are bitching and complaining about it. But when it comes down to it, like, neither of us did anything. And that's true.
Well,
like,
there was a bunch of parents and we were going to go in. And then this whole COVID thing happened. And then, you know, we couldn't go into school. And maybe we should have emailed the principal or whatever, but at the time she just like went crazy and whatever.
And maybe I should have.
Maybe I'm making excuses. Maybe I should like email him now. honestly.
I know, it's the thing. Like, should I have, when I was in jail, been like, well, if I was black, would I be getting out? But no, of course I wouldn't have said that because I wanted to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to acknowledge, we're not helping anything by saying this. I just want you guys to know, like, we acknowledge it. And we want to.
And maybe those of you who are experienced, it could be like, hey, yeah, you know what, Jody? Email the principal now and tell him. Maybe
yeah.
That is, but I am open to hearing, like you said, we don't need to be like educated in X,
no,
Y, and Z.
We're not changing a thing by talking about these awesome things that happen
no.
like, to white people.
We're just saying it's fucked up. It is fucked up. Yeah. And it starts with each and every one of us acknowledging it. And saying that's fucked up. And I just want to say, again, you, those of you who are black or any other color skin, like I was saying, I'm my podcast, whatever, middle-aged, middle of America, middle-class white woman, I have no way of saying, yeah, I'm with you. I would be pissed off, too.
Yes.
I have no way of knowing. But you should not have to be going through this bullshit.
No.
We
stand with you, and that pretty much means zero, I'm sure. But like, we are with you. We were planning on addressing this for like, I'm like, maybe let's just touch on it for a couple minutes. But like, I've been watching this shit on TV for the past like 3 days, and it's just, it's all I can think about. So.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know how to segue into talking shit about
the Teen Mom Girls, right?
How do we do it? Who should we talk about first?
Well, maybe since we're talking about my horrible voice, should we jump into Caitlin and Tyler? Because I do a very good Michigan accent.
First, if we're, you guys, speaking of like the violence and injustice.
Oh, no.
Jody had some personal violence and injustice occur in her room and in her house. And she's really dealing with how to handle it in her own home.
Well, this I am open to schooling. Please tell me what I do.
I was like, I don't know, Jody. I'm like, that shit's fucked up.
Well, now we're going to get shit because I was just going to say Caitlin and Tyler, and that reminded you of my dog. So sorry, Caitlin.
Where it comes here is where I texted my boss trying to help you, and I called you my friend from Michigan.
And I was like, am I your friend from Michigan? Because I live in Illinois.
Because she has the same accent as Caitlin and Tyler. But anyway, tell us what happened to you.
All right, so yesterday morning.
It's horrific.
Right, yesterday morning, I'm like, okay, Jody, you're going to get with the program. You're going to record, you know, or you're going to watch your episodes for Teen Mom and all this kind of stuff, right? So I'm all set up. I'm getting back in the groove. You know, Jody's got her groove back. I'm getting into it. And I hear this high-pitched, we know I can't do a high-pitched impersonation of the sound that I heard, but basically your little siren woo thing is what I heard screeching outside my door. And I was like, that
is
not
traumatic.
A bird. What is that? So I open the door and I see Scout in the arborvitaes, the trees over to the side, and right in front of me on the patio. At first, I thought it was a mouse, but it was a little baby, like a preemie bunny. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was on its back, like,
ah! Like, how preemie? Like,
it
fetus,
looked like a feel,
pink?
It looked like
no fur?
It was the size of a mouse. I thought it was a mouse. It was that tiny.
Oh, so it didn't even have fur.
No, it had fur. Oh, it had fur. I could identify.
This is horrible. This
I'm
is
having
horrible.
Flashbacks. There was like a little white spot on the head. It was like a field bunny.
I'm so sorry.
Whatever. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm like, ah! And then I see Scout in the bushes, and I see another one lower down in the tree. So I'm like, Scout, get in here, get in here. So I like grab her, scoop her up, throw her inside, and then I'm like, oh my God, there's like bunny out there. And as I get us inside, I close the door, and I see the bunny kind of start like scampering off or going off. So I'm like, okay, I just got to keep her inside here and I'll figure out what's going on. So I thought they went away. Then I go out there later because Scout looks like she needs to go out. I'm going to try to speed the story up here. I walk out, bunny number one, okay? Bunny number two, I don't know whatever happened to the one in the tree, but the one that was on the patio didn't go away. It was still cowering next to the house. So at this point, again, I didn't sign up to be Bindi fucking Irwin at 9 a.m. So now I'm like, well, God, here we go. Now I'm nature patrol.
Why didn't you call the fucking, like, rescue
Because
group?
It's closed. I already know this because I wanted the kids to go there, and they're saying that they're not taking any new animals because whatever.
All right.
Like, there is a wildlife preserve just down the way. Anyhow, and there's fucking wild bunnies everywhere around here. We're in the suburbs. Right. It's like mating season. There's baby bunnies everywhere, which last year Charlie's classmate brought baby bunnies in her backpack and just decided to walk up to me. She was going to bring them in the school. And so I told her she had to go set it free. And yeah, I sent a first grader in or a second grader in crying. Anyhow, this is my fucking life. Baby bunnies find me. I don't find them. So I'm like, okay, I got to get this bunny out of here. So I try to get a big box because I know you don't touch them because the mom won't. They'll smell a human on them. So I got like a big Amazon box that we had. And I was just going to try to like scoop it up in the box. But then it like turned over and it started hopping away. So I'm like, oh, thank God it's not injured. Well, then it started like hopping back towards the house. And I'm like, come on, you fucker. So I finally got it in the box. I was like, ugh. I ran over to the front of my house because we have a fenced-in backyard. And I set the bunny free. I'm like, go on, little fella.
That was the worst thing you can do, though.
Why?
Because it's a baby bunny. It can't survive.
Well, it's going to be dead if it's in my backyard because Scout's coming after it.
Yeah, but if you had it, you could have, like, rehabilitated it.
What do you think I am? Like, I have a fucking incubator for baby bunnies. Am I rehabilitate it?
That's, like, definitely what I would have done. I would have bought,
like,
it's
a miracle I've
kept
my kids alive at this point, and now I'm going to be, like, breastfeeding a baby bunny? No.
With like the $1,500 that I have left to like actually like waste right now, I would probably go and buy like an incubator.
I don't think you're supposed to keep baby bunnies either. Like what? How would I know? What would I give it? A carrot to keep it alive? I don't know. I thought I was giving it a chance. At least as a chance to life, right? So I'm like, okay, it went out there. I let Scout out to go pee, and what do I see? The little fucking bunny comes right back under the gate where the gate is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so Scout runs over there, and of course. What are the other three members of my family doing inside? Nothing. Just watching on their iPads. I'm screaming for help. I'm still in my pajamas, like boobs flopping all over for the neighbors to see.
Well, you were screaming at me on text message about it.
Well, this was afterward when I got pissed off. So now the bunny goes under our firewood. Like we have like a full cord of firewood. It goes under there. And I'm like, shit. So Scout's doing. So this is what I built, what I fashioned. I was really proud of myself. I took the firewood and I made like a little maze, like a little tunnel for it to find its way out back through the gate.
Right.
But it didn't. It just stayed in there. So I'm like, well, I don't know what else to do at this point. So I kept Scout in as long as I could. Okay. We got through the whole day. I went and checked. I'm like, okay, I think the bunny's gone. And then later in the day, I went off to go check on my mom. I came back. Scout needed to go out. I let her out. And I was like, okay, time to come back in. And I go outside to open the door. Thank God I actually stepped outside and was like, Scout, come on. And I see her run up to the door. And there are two, oh my God, it was so fucking disgusting. There are two tiny little feet hanging out of her mouth. And I just screamed up like, ah, drop it, Scout. And she got freaked out and just dropped it. And I was like, get inside.
I'm surprised she dropped it.
I think she was so surprised that like I reacted. So I like picked her up and I threw her inside. And I was like, Dave, there was a mouse. And when she dropped it, there was just a torso and two legs. Like she had, I don't know, ripped off or consumed.
I want to at least just say here, there's a good chance that she didn't kill the bunny. She just found
there's
a carcass.
No
there's
way.
No, that is a very good chance.
She was hunting that thing at the door all day. She wanted to go out.
I'm just trying to help your psyche here.
Well, no, she fucking murdered it. So of course I'm like, okay. Dave. Ugh. So at this point, oh no, maybe I did leave her outside. Cause I was like, I can't bring her in. What if she has blood all over her and then I can never touch her again. So Dave went out and he like got rid of the bunny that she dragged away. There's still a little blood stain on my concrete. And just for the rest of the night, I was like, don't even look at, like, you murderer. Like, I still can't even look at her. She's behind me right now, her nose just peeking out.
Here's your text to me at 6:36 p.m. And you guys, look, you know I love animals literally more than anything. But, like, I also do acknowledge the circle of life and just how, like, you know, my cats have killed mice and like birds and shit. Like George has definitely killed a plethora of birds. He lived outside for like 5 years.
Well, I was like mixed because I'm like, I tried my best to save this bunny, but
that's not your fault. This is what happened.
It came back. It wanted to be in the yard.
I said if Scout hadn't gotten them, they would have been caught by another predator. And that sucks. It's super sad.
Well, you're like, oh my God, a baby bunny. Are you going to keep it? I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, that's what I would have done. But, you know, not everyone's a psycho crazy.
Okay. You find a baby bunny right now. What are you feeding it?
I would have called my boss, Robin, who is a wildlife expert, and I would have asked her for all her...
But this isn't like a bunny that you buy from a pet store. This is a wild bunny.
I don't know, but I'm weird. I'm a weird animal person, so I'm not expecting everyone to do the same things as me.
Like, do you give it milk?
I probably would have, like, looked up, like, what to, like, do, and I probably would have ended up, like... I don't know what I would have done. It didn't happen to me, so I can't really give you an opinion.
That was so fucking dramatic.
Jody texts me at 6:36 in all caps.
Okay, I don't even remember this happening.
She murdered a bunny! I let her out to pee, and I opened the door to let her in, and I see 2 feet hanging out of her mouth, and I screamed, and she dropped a headless fucking carcass, and now I'm traumatized. I can never touch her again. I can't deal. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I try to save it all day. She's a murderer. How can I ever cuddle a cannibal? What do I do? She has tasted blood. Ate the fucking head like goddamn Jeffrey Dahmer. Does she go to like jail or something? Dog jail. Do I report it? What happens now? I can't look at her. She wants to kill. Her tongue is hanging out like she's craving blood. What would you do if Walter was a killer? Texted me all of that.
I only remember a portion of that. I don't remember the cannibal part. Well, she was walking around. I've never seen her tongue hanging out, panting like that before.
That's horrible, Jody.
She was doing circles, staring out the door. So now every time she goes out, like later last night and this morning, I make the kids go out because. So
how did you come to terms with this eventually? Because then I kept texting you.
I still
haven't. You stopped texting me.
You haven't.
You can't look at her.
I peg like her back.
You hate her a lot.
I will warm back up to her. But
like, there.
Yes.
There.
Yeah, like, you're okay. It be okay. Pat. But I'm afraid to get too close to, like, her. Maybe I should give her a bath. I'm just afraid there's blood on her.
Oh, you should definitely give her a bath.
Oh, well, now I feel like shit that I haven't done that.
Oh, no, you're fine.
But, like, do you report this, like, an animal, like, to authorities
no,
that they killed something?
No, it's an animal.
Well, I don't know. Like, is she dangerous to other animals
no,
now?
No, she's fine.
Are you sure?
She's fine. Jody, like, one of the major, like, my major grievances with walking dogs is if there's, like, a dead raccoon or a dead bird laying around, like, 90% of the dogs want to just roll over on it. Dogs are gross. They're like,
Roll over on it.
They want to roll over and get their scent on it.
Oh, God, that's so disgusting. Ew.
Yeah, no, it's awful. Dogs are disgusting. But we love them because, you know, that they have their own way of life.
Like, but will she now only want to eat fresh
Jody,
blood?
Jesus Christ.
I'm not. Okay. Well, I didn't know. You're like, fine. You know, sometimes, like, dogs attack and you have to tell animal cruelty people.
No, you do not need to tell animal cruelty people. Just, you know, next time you find some.
Is she more likely to kill now that she's had a taste for it? Okay.
She just has that instinct.
How does she poop it out? Is she just going to, like, poop out a skull?
You're not going to notice. And next time you find 2 little bunnies in your yard, just,
no, that's
know.
Why that's why I'm making the kids do it. Okay. I mean, they're old enough to understand, right? I'm not dealing with it again. I can't.
No, I mean, I'm laughing, but and only because, like, I didn't actually witness it happen. If I had witnessed that, I don't know what I would do.
It was like a perfect...
No. I can't. I don't want to hear about it.
It was like a perfectly carved, it was just like right off. Like there was
I'm mostly just reacting to it, but I mean, it is a circle of life.
I don't even really like animals besides her, and I felt bad for this bunny. But again, I was rooting for it to save itself, but I did my best.
No. I'm thinking we... cut this and just release this as an episode.
Just done. Just all the traumatic things. We covered family death, racism, animals murdering.
All right,
what else?
Let's talk about Caitlin then.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Let's go. What do we got? Right. What do we got here?
Tyler's been working hard on relaunching our clothing line, Tierra Rain, and I've been making Vedas food for about 6 months.
Well, actually, first it was that, here's a recap of what I wanted, what my life dreams, my entire life goal was up until last week when I found out that I'd have to work for it. And it was a flashback of her, like, hearing about what...
Being a vet tech.
Veterinary school, yeah. So now it's like, well, actually, I feel like I'm more cut out for just, you know, posting a couple things on Instagram about baby food.
That's really sad. That seems a bit more. I actually think Caitlin would have been a great...
I'd rather do it.
I think she'd be a great receptionist anywhere.
She would. Yeah, that's the thing, is she shouldn't have gone from working with animals to now I'm just posting about baby food once or twice a month. It should be like... more of a less like a lateral move, like just okay. Well, actually, I'll just be a receptionist, like you said.
Which I don't or think volunteering I'm not trying to like diss shelter. That at all. I mean, like,
no,
a good receptionist, a receptionist is amazing, or like an office manager because she's very personable,
likable. I could not
likeable.
Even be a receptionist. I don't think I could even work as a volunteer in a no-kill shelter because I would be so sad. I know it didn't seem like it because I was laughing at Jody's bunny thing just recently, but like I would be devastated all day long. So she should have done that trajectory. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I'll just work with animals that aren't going to die and that I don't have to.
Well, or something that's more permanent than posting for whatever company on Instagram a couple times.
Yeah. That she's passionate about, which I'm like, since when?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I want to talk about this making the baby food thing because I made the kids baby food because my kids are, talk about fucking privileged.
Yeah, sounds pretty bougie to me, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, it's not at all. First of all, it is cheaper than buying jarred baby food, but my kids.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like a lot of work.
Well, maybe. Maybe I did it like the cheap Aldi way or whatever, but my kids were so picky with their food. They would not eat any jarred food. Like, I couldn't even tell you what stage 1, 2, 3. I know it gets chunkier, but I never had my kids take even a bite. It wasn't for lack of trying of like the turkey dinner. You know, they have like the different flavored jarred baby food things. They just would never, ever eat it because they're total assholes. So I did make, like, sweet potatoes and squash and zucchini, which ends up being really watery, but you add, like, oatmeal to it, whatever. Did them all. It's really, it's not that difficult. If you don't have a job in your home with, like, your two kids like Caitlin is, it's not that hard. You steam it, you put it in a food processor, and you freeze it into ice cube trays. That's it. It's not that hard.
So you can just feed your kid, like, an ice cube's worth of food?
Or like a couple. It's just to make it last longer.
Cool.
Or you keep it fresh, whatever. That's what I did. And then you know, warm it up or whatever. But again, I'm like no chef. I'm no.
Did you also use disposable diapers? I always wanted.
Did I?
Well, I'm not judging
anyone
who uses
like,
disposable
diapers.
Oh,
like the throw like Huggies or whatever? Yeah, I use the generic.
Yeah, like if you're going to go full hippie, like are you going full hippie?
I did not do cloth.
I didn't
do cloth, no. I did the...
Oh, I meant non-disposable diapers. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Hey, more credit to you if you can do it. I did not go that way. I did the generic Target Up and Up brand. I did the newborn Pampers because they're soft and cute and cuddly. But after that, yeah, they just went straight to the throw on. Sorry, Earth. Sorry. I guess I'm an asshole for being that privileged.
We're assholes for
Anyhow,
very many reasons.
So when she was like, oh my God, it's just been exhausting making her baby food for this 6 months. I'm like, really?
What? Please name 10 of your other activities for that day.
Well, that's exactly my point. I mean, what else are you doing besides occasionally for like a month or two having a camera crew come to your home to film, I don't know, an hour or two.
And, like, as you're talking, like, wiping a table, like, you work at a bar on, like, Cheers. Like, you're, like, a generic bar guy. Yeah. Barkeep.
Oh, man. Okay, so that's all I have to say about the baby food thing. So, because she's so passionate about it, she found a company that makes healthy baby food. So she reached out to them on social media, DM'd them, and they got back to her.
Weird how they'd come back to somebody. They'd get back to somebody who has 3.2 million fucking followers.
Which is wild. I didn't realize that
they were jizzing all over the fucking universe when she messaged them.
Yeah, well, listen, those jarred baby foods, it was all over CNN. They have arsenic, heavy metals. I want to be like, okay, so Caitlin, tell me one of those heavy metals that are in there. Tell me what arsenic actually is.
She was going off. She was like, no, OMG.
Or she,
like,
was reading she was it off her phone.
GMO. Yeah, I'm like, Caitlin.
No, she was going, so I'm going to go meet the founder and the marketing director because they make it in their own kitchen. Reading it directly off her phone as she was having that shit really curl her hair.
She's passionate. She's passionate about it, Tyler. Tyler's like, yeah, you can really make a change. You know, you just really be a, you know, a spokesperson and just really, you know, start a whole movement, baby food.
But first, look at this place. This place is fancy. This is really fancy.
Look at these knives, Caitlin. There's four knives on the table here. Whoa, what is this?
I paused it and looked. There was a salad fork, a fork, a knife, and a spoon.
They are in fucking Restaurant Row where I used to work. I promise they're fine. They're like a House of Brews or something.
A salad fork. Fancy, fancy, so fancy.
Fancy. And Caitlin, like, I'm so nervous. I'm like, you could walk up to them and shit on the table and they would still accept you as a sponsor.
They'd sell it as baby food. Little spoon. Yes,
exactly, because you have 3.2 million followers and you have to do shit all.
Yeah, and this is where Tyler absolutely did exactly what you always say. He speaks in motivational quotes.
Yeah, in word-a-day motivational quotes.
This is what he said. Yeah. I mean, and he's like high on speed, or he needs Ritalin or something, because he is like, whoo, he's playing spoons. He's like hanging the spoon on his nose with the fork and everything. He's like, yeah, you know, because like you want your passion to drive the expansion of the company. You know, I don't know. It's moms for moms. I mean, all kids want to eat. Bottom line. I mean, tell them I want to be a pioneer for the movement.
He's like, all kids need to eat. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, my mom fed me like fucking Kmart food my entire life, and I'm all good. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the best, but I'm all good.
Yeah.
Caitlin says that the first 1,000 days are the most important part. After that, you can ease up a bit, I guess.
So you're telling me I've been trying for all these thousands of days after the first 1,000? Just trying?
That's 1,000 days, like 3 years old. So after 3 years old, you're going to start feeding them like Burger King, McDonald's.
Basically.
They got all the things they need. They got all the nutrients.
So really, I should just blame my mom for not feeding me all organic after the first 1,000 days.
Exactly.
All right, yeah. Sounds good to me. So, that's the bottom line. Moms helping moms. So Caitlin arrives at Little Spoon, and we need to break down her look that she had going on at this meeting.
I think she looks I appreciate, okay, the bangs.
It was like a half pony, a high half pony.
I thought she looked really pretty.
But for this company, let's think about what you're going in there for. This is about an all organic baby food company. And she came in full glam, bright red lips.
Yeah, but Jody, this thing is fucking bougie as fuck. These bitches are dressing like that on the weekend for brunch, I promise you.
The people that are working there?
Yes,
well, they just moved in there. Did you hear the girl say, this is our first day, because we knew they were like, oh, we're going to have a camera crew. We're going to have Caitlin from Teen Mom 3.2.
They just invested in this. Yeah.
They rented just that the thing today. Out. Yeah, they rented it out for a month. Ordered
but
a sign.
I'm all for Caitlin feeling herself. Because, again, like, I'm making fun of her, but Caitlin has become one of my favorite
people in
this franchise.
I thought
like,
she looked really pretty for an evening out look, not a daytime
for
organic
like
baby company.
The Golden Globe Awards.
Right. Yeah, the Oscars.
But she looks good. She's feeling herself. She's not doing like the pink hair bun.
I'm just saying, I would have gone, I would have at least done like a neutral lip and worn earth tones.
Sure, but she doesn't know somebody's doing her makeup. I don't think she's guiding anyone.
She's wearing like a leather jacket to an organic, vegan, non-GMO.
I promise you that's not a real leather jacket. That's a vegan jacket, I can tell you that.
Probably. All right, so she goes in there, and immediately, you know what all hopeful employees do, they say, hold on, I need to take a picture of this. She couldn't have taken a photo of the sign on the way out. I hated that so much. You probably didn't even catch it.
Oh, it didn't bother me. I mean, so many other
so
things.
So unprofessional. But anyway, so she goes into this office, and you know we're all huggers. Are you a hugger? I'm a hugger. Okay, hugger. They all hug each other.
I'm like, coronavirus. Yeah.
And she says, New York. I'm like super passionate about what you're doing. And then I felt really badly for her here. They don't ask her to, you know, come on and work for them or with them.
Or even give her opinion on any ingredients
it's,
or anything.
It's, do you want to be on this council of parents? We're hopefully having a council consisting of a wide variety, many parents. You could be one of them. And maybe here and there you could answer a question about parenthood. And Caitlin goes on her mommy blues and post-baby blues. And again, not a bad answer, but we're talking about baby food here.
Has she posted about this?
I have no idea. But however they spun it to Caitlin, she was all for it. I felt badly for her because really I think that was exactly what we're saying is, hey, you have a ton of followers. It'll be great exposure for us. And maybe you could like hop on the website to field a question or two. And she's like, oh yeah, this is my big break. I'm pretty much getting my own loft in New York during the week so Tyler can take care of the kids back at home.
I would have really rather her, even if she just found like an animal rescue organization and just Instagrammed about that, I would have been like, that makes more sense because at least she actually cares about that.
Or her horse.
I believe that she has a passion about animals.
Yeah, I don't believe the passion about baby food.
Absolutely not. And but if she just joined like an animal rescue group and like, I'm going to sponsor this animal rescue group or endorse it, that would have been...
Or like some equine therapy, because she was super into that.
Sure. Something that actually shows that she like...
Well, listen, once you're past the baby years, so let's say 3 years from now, which we're going to talk about in a little bit because they want another kid.
Yeah.
Is she really going to be passionate about buying baby food?
Well, I feel like nowadays when they're bankrupt, they're not going to be able, she's not able to, like, I think everything's going to change.
Well, Tierra Rain, you know, that's going to be their little baby.
So is that mentioned in this at all? Or
no, just that Tyler's relaunching it. That's all she said. Okay. And we have not heard
a
peep.
And then, so the rest of this episode, or the rest of these three episodes, is them just wanting to have another baby, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Like, and Butch fine, coming back, but they have no...
And Butch coming back.
God, it makes me sad.
I mean, I don't even know. There's not much to say about that. Yeah. He's relapsed. And just hearing somebody say, yeah, I'm using again, but not as much as before, that's like fucking heartbreaking to hear.
Yeah.
Because all I'm hearing is, oh, I'm using again.
Right. And you know Tyler's pissed because, well, I'm sure he got a deal on that rehab. I don't think Butch got 100% free stay there. Tyler absolutely had to put up some money to pay for him to go.
Of course he did, but still, like...
So he's got to be pissed. Like, here, I do everything I can for you. Pay for this rehab, and here you're just like, whatever. I can smoke pot, I can do.
Yeah, that's all very upsetting. I'm glad we didn't have to see their, like, rickety-ass friend.
Oh, she was there. Ashley was there in that last episode, yeah.
She talks
like... It's very uncomfortable. It's probably like listening to me at the very beginning of this episode when I'm on the verge of tears and I'm crying.
No, it just sounds like there's like a nerve imbalance. Yeah. Not nervous, but like a nerve.
Oh, look. Eileen Wuornos is awake behind me over here. Jesus. You see how quickly I opened that door? I'm like, oh, get out.
I mean, I literally saw the door vibrate when she crashed against it just now. Another friend. I mean, I'm not making fun of, like, anything, but just, like, her voice is just very, like, I have a nerve imbalance. Tyler.
Now, did you notice Veda's first birthday, when they did a little screenshot of all of the social media things that Caitlin was saying about Veda's birthday, that her nickname for Veda is Veda Beta Butt. I was like,
ooh, that's too close to Ooga Booger Butt.
Thank you. It's so close to Booger Butt. I did not enjoy
Oogie
that.
Oogie Boogie. Oogie Boogie Boogies.
Yeah.
But I did notice this. Happy birthday to you.
I didn't even notice it.
Happy birthday to Veda. happy birthday. It's like three, they in the past three episodes, we've watched them sing happy birthday twice. Yeah.
I did notice Caitlin talking about Tyler, and I only noticed this because it's like one of those constant Midwest memes where it's always like, oh, your ma. She's like, oh, your ma called, and I called her back. I called your ma. And that we say that all the time. Like, ma, do you do that? Ma?
I don't talk to people.
Well, your mom. So, your mom. You don't say ma.
I guess I called her mum. Mum was mostly mom, the thing that I
that's
called
so
her.
Cute.
Mum. Yeah, like my mom.
Your mom.
Like if my mom so is referring to my grandmother, she's
oh God, she's back, you guys.
Eileen Ward, she's wagging her tail.
Don't look at me with those eyes.
She's really cute though. She's a very cute little baby.
She is, but I'm just on edge. Okay, I love her. I'm just a little on edge.
Keep her on a goddamn leash from now on.
In my own backyard.
Yes. Jesus. If that's what it takes. Are we done with Caitlin and Tyler? Oh, they want another baby.
They go to see an RE who they call a gender selection doctor.
And the guy's like, yeah, Caitlin's like, I've had a lot of problems with my mental health. And, you know, it's like basically, she didn't say this, but she's like, suicidal thoughts, depression. And the guy's like, yeah, I mean, you'll definitely feel stuff. I mean, it'll just
well,
be.
Well, he's talking
you know,
about IVF because that's the only way that you can figure it out, which. He made it sound a lot easier than it is. I mean, that's what I had to go through with the IVF.
And he says that.
And it is true. Your hormones go fucking crazy.
Of course.
Like, they put you through menopause. They put you through menopause,
so it's crazy.
I sweat my entire
bed out every time I get my period, and I haven't even had a baby, and I'm not even having sex or taking birth control. And if I have my period, my whole mattress is fucking, like, blood dead die. The doctor's like, yeah, you're gonna feel it. And Tyler's like, oh,
well he goes, any questions? They're both like, nope, we're good. We're good. And then he goes,
well, no, Caitlin looks horrified and Tyler goes, I feel good about this.
Well, then she's like, oh, because you don't have to do anything. And then he's like, well,
exactly.
And he goes, well, you guys haven't asked me, you know, the one big question that I would hope you would ask. What if they all come out as girls? What if all of your embryos are girls? And they're like, oh, yeah. What do we do then? Oh. And then they're like, okay, well, that's good. And he's like, oh, and the cost, you might want to, you know how much this whole thing is. It's anywhere from like 22,000 to 24,000. And they're like, I think they were like hoping for the little teen mom OG MTV
discount.
Yeah,
like the Dr. Miami type deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if we show this online, on Instagram, mm-hmm. we live stream this. I don't appreciate, though, that Caitlin asked, could this even 1% affect my mental health? And the doctor said, yes. And Tyler's like, all right, we'll do it. I just, Tyler, didn't you see what she fucking went through the past like four fucking seasons or her whole life? There should, if 1% chance is that her mental health is going to be fucked up again, you shouldn't go with it.
But one could argue, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. She has that same risk of getting postpartum again, whether she has a baby naturally or not. No, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying, but
no, that's true. That's true.
I'm gonna maybe Tyler's thinking that same thing. Yeah, right. No, but later.
Also, just, I don't know if they need another.
Well,
I'm not giving my opinion on if anyone needs another baby. If you like babies, you should get babies. I have four animals currently.
Yeah.
So,
well, I have like 1.3 because I think the head is still with her. You know what I mean? And you know damn well I'm making the kids go clean up the poop in the backyard because I am not going
to
risk.
I'm
not risking my mental health.
I wouldn't be able to set foot out there. No.
I'm not risking mine.
I wouldn't either.
To go out there. Well, later, they're talking about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, boy, girl, boy, girl. And at the end of the day, Caitlin's just like, well, I ain't paying no 20 grand for a baby, so.
Well, you don't have it.
Yeah.
You don't have it.
Exactly, so you don't do any of that round one. But that is, I mean, I'm sure this is what a lot of couples talk about.
Of course, and I've seen a lot of people talking shit like, well, Tyler should just want another kid no matter what. No, I get it.
Oh, listen, it's only natural. Exactly, especially if you've had two, three girls.
Like, I feel bad for Caitlin. Caitlin loves her boys more than anything, but like, I was kind of like, oh, that sucks it wasn't a girl for her fourth baby. Like, I was, of course she's going to love the boy more than anything. But I was like, oh, that's too bad that she doesn't get a girl.
I'm very happy that I have one of each.
Yeah, you got very lucky.
And again, I'd be happy if I had two boys, two girls, but yeah. If you want a certain one, sure.
I got the most lucky. by not having
it. Yours are purely in your imagination.
Oh, God, remember when I was, like, trying to do it?
I do. So well, sad. I remember you guys, and you're like, well, what if I, like, have it? I don't really want it. I was like, well, yeah, you'll like, love it.
You don't, then you'll you love don't it. Want it.
I was like, if you really will, like, you will love your baby. If you have a baby, you'll love
people,
it.
I have a few people that have found my podcast, like, recently that are listening from the early days, and they're like, I'm so excited to listen to your journey. I'm like, it gets a little rough.
Buckle up.
It's going to take a few twists and turns. Let me just let you know.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Is right. that it with Caitlin and Tyler?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.